Thank you very much, and thanks again for coming. So we heard a lot about in the last presentation some of the difference between rural and urban health. So I will kind of skip over those slides. I think it's interesting in Indiana, some of the things are very similar as they are in South Dakota. I'll also skip over the relationships that I don't have to disclose today. So as Leah mentioned, I am a visiting research associate with the Collaborative Research Initiative. We are a small research group at the School of Education at Indiana University. And while we are mostly evaluation researchers, we also like to partner with communities to help them build their own capacity to empower families and individuals to optimize their own well-being. So we work mostly with early childhood projects, but we also work with different community initiatives targeting substance abuse prevention and a whole range of different community initiatives. So we really do try to partner with communities, stakeholders, and families rather than just kind of coming in as an external evaluator or researcher. And I'll get a little bit more into that as we talk about our process for developing our needs assessment. So in today's presentation, our needs assessment was developed through a public health initiative called Indiana Project Launch. And I'll talk a little bit about what Project Launch is. And kind of the context of Indiana in terms of the rural issues that we see. Our needs assessment approach, we follow the community-based participatory model, so I'll talk a little bit about that, and then how we use this process for a needs assessment and what results we had and how we use those results to inform the different strategies and approaches we did in Project Launch. And then in the spirit of practicality, hopefully I can give you some information on how you can use this information if you have a needs assessment that you need to develop on your own. So Indiana Project Launch stands for, Project Launch stands for Linking Actions for Unmet Need in Children's Health, and it's a public health approach to improve the well-being of children, specifically from birth to age 8, emphasizing social and emotional health. And this project really focuses on the services that children and families receive and really trying to improve and implement a system of care for early childhood. So if we think about the public health kind of triangle from universal to targeted services, these are sort of the strands or strategies that the National Project Launch program wants you to think about because these are sort of the targeted services or areas that are important in early childhood. So we have community trainings at the bottom, which were targeted for providers, families, and other stakeholders, screenings and assessments for young children, so physical screenings, cognitive developmental screenings, but also social and emotional screenings as well. The integration of primary care and behavioral health, as we know is important from our last presentation as well. Home visiting enhancement, mental health consultation, and family strengthening and parent support, which focuses on targeting for mostly at-risk families and implementing parent programs. And then looking at systems change and how we see differences in these programs from the ground level up and how we can look at kind of a bird's eye view of how the system of care is functioning. So in Indiana, our main aims of Project Launch are to implement and enhance existing services, to improve practices, and to increase provider capacity. And the way that Project Launch works is these services and initiatives are implemented in a local pilot region, and you can see kind of the map of Indiana. The yellow area is our 8 region pilot community, which is largely rural, mostly Caucasian, as is most of the state of Indiana. And so we do these different services in this area, and then the state agencies that represent the different sectors that I kind of mentioned in the last slide, they are also part of the project, and they really look at, what are the barriers that need to be addressed in local community, what are they experiencing throughout the project, and also to help, you know, with sustainability at the end of the project and to see what can be replicated throughout the state. And so the differences, as mentioned in the last presentation, between kind of urban and rural. So Indianapolis, where the star is in the middle, that's where most of our state agencies are, is more urban than suburban, and especially in comparison to our eight-county region. So it's really important for the needs assessment we would conduct for this project that we could really understand the context of what families are experiencing, what they need, what the barriers to services are, and also what the providers are experiencing in the community. So again, the populations are pretty similar between the rural and urban area in terms of the needs of what communities are experiencing. There's similar rates for families who are on Medicaid and experience receiving benefits such as SNAP or other social services are pretty similar. So what we see mostly as a difference is access to care. So in this slide, you can see compared to Indiana and United States rates, this is rate of primary care physician per 100,000 population. In our urban area, there are lots of doctors and lots of access, but in southeastern Indiana, it's pretty hard to find a doctor. And actually, most the hospitals or primary care physicians that are closer for our population in southeastern Indiana to access are across the border in Ohio and in Kentucky, which kind of brings up a whole other issue, especially when families are on state insurance. Those don't cross over the state borders. So that's kind of out of the scope of what our project looked at, but it definitely is a long-term issue that I think needs to be addressed. So for our needs assessment, we really felt it was important to, as evaluators, so we will be partnering with this local community throughout the entire length of the project, and we really wanted to not only understand the context of the community, but to also really form a partnership with that community to, establish trust and to really make it a mutually beneficial partnership. We took the community-based participatory research approach, which you can just read the slide, but an orientation to research that focuses on relationships between academic and community partners with principles of co-learning, mutual benefit, and long-term commitment that incorporates community theories, participation, and practices into the research efforts. And it was really important for us to get families involved at every step of the process so that we could really understand, what they're experiencing. And what they are dealing with their young children. So we use this approach. I first want to say we had about a month to turn around our needs assessment. So from design to data collection to kind of turning in our federal report and conducting our strategic plan, we had 1 month to do that. So our numbers are a little bit smaller than what happened in North Dakota, but we're still really proud of what we were able to kind of pull off in that with that time restriction. So we were really targeted in the information that we wanted to learn and who we wanted to kind of approach for that. So we conducted surveys. We did online surveys. And with some local providers, we had computer banks where families could come and complete their surveys online. We know that computer internet access is an issue, especially in a rural area. We also conducted focus groups with local families. And providers, and then we conducted interviews as well with the local providers in the area. And in the development of this needs assessment, we had families and project leaders and local service providers and agency leaders help us in the development of the questions for the surveys, for the focus groups, and for the interviews to really make sure we were asking the right questions and asking them in a way that our families could understand. A lot of times there's a gap between, especially we've learned this throughout the process as researchers, sometimes the language we use is fairly different than what our rural families are used to. And so our stakeholders are not shy about telling us when we need to put our data into Southeastern Indiana language, which is, it's great. But we want to make sure that it's relevant and that we're making sense and we're translating what we want to know into the way that our stakeholders can answer the questions. It's a really iterative process and it takes a lot longer, but it's really the most meaningful, we think. We also had some family members and stakeholders help us administer the focus groups in the interviews. We really thought that helped establish a little bit more trust in, some of these issues that we're talking about with families, like, what are they dealing with their young children, what are barriers to services, and that sort of thing. I think that really helped provide some rich data. So some of the results. We found that families really trusted most of these families that we talked to and surveyed used Head Start as their main preschool. We also don't have state-funded preschool in Indiana, so it's usually Head Start or a private preschool or nothing at all. And so they really trusted Head Start when talking about the education of the young children. And in terms of even mental health and the health of their children, their primary care providers, they felt they trusted the most. Families were also unsure of where to go with social emotional concerns of their young children. This could be for a lot of reasons. I think when we throw out social emotional as providers, we might know what that means, but families, might not know, and so that was kind of a source of confusion across the board. And also, lack of transportation was a big barrier for families accessing services. And as you can see, there's just a lack of available resources. So for the services that do exist, it was hard for families to get there. Like I said, sometimes the closest hospital was 2 hours away for some families to access. So, when you're in crisis, that's a pretty big challenge. And on the provider side, similar again to North Dakota, just the capacity of the providers, there's a shortage of primary care and mental health providers in the area, and the education of providers. So, master's level clinicians, they're hard to find and they're hard to retain. So clinical provider turnover is a major concern for families, because if you're engaged in services and your provider leaves, you have to start all over. And so with stigma and trust in providers, that's a pretty big barrier. And then for providers, turnover, you have to hire new staff, you have to train new staff, and we all know that there's just a lot of issues that come up with that. And in the same vein, providers were reporting that they needed more help understanding basic mental health issues. And these were really like the on-the-ground providers, so not clinical, like these weren't counselors and therapists. These were more caseworkers, visitors, and those kind of, like I said, on-the-ground staff. And they wanted more information about how to help their families and the young children with mental health and social-emotional issues. And finally, there were no prevention-based services for families. So there were some services that did exist, but eligibility was based mostly determined if the family was involved in the justice system or in child welfare system. So there were no real services to help families before they kind of got into that system. And how we use this data to inform the project goals of launch. So we implemented the Incredible Years parenting program, and it ranges for parents who have young children that are babies to age 6. There are two different versions of the program. There's a group session where families can come to a convenient location, and then there's also the home coaching model. So if transportation is really an issue, our providers come out to the home and they do one-on-one sessions with these families. We also supported providers using mental health consultation. And there is a range of providers that we will be working with using this approach, including some of the Incredible Year staff, home visiting child care providers, I think, are the ones that we're targeting at this point. And also in Head Start, we implemented the social-emotional classroom curriculum called Conscious Discipline. That's something that the Head Start providers really were excited about. And this, it's more than just a classroom management technique. It really helps Head Start teachers understand the different social-emotional concerns of their children and how to help out without just discipline and behavior and that sort of thing. We supported mental health in primary care settings through co-location, so having a therapist in a primary care office, which one helps to reduce kind of that stigma of services. It's easier than providing a referral and then sending a family away to go somewhere else. I call it like the warm handoff. The doctor can actually introduce the family to the provider, which helps. And then we implemented social-emotional screening tools. We did the ages and stages, three and ages and stages, social-emotional, in child care settings. So the community-based participatory research model, we think it really helps to establish genuine partnerships and trust. And it develops co-learning. So not only as researchers or evaluators do we really help, it helps us learn the context of data, it helps us learn more about the community, but it helps our stakeholders understand their data, understand their community a little bit more. And, you know, when we helped stakeholders learn how to do focus groups and interviews, you know, it builds their capacity as well, which is the second one. And as you establish this partnership, findings and knowledge benefit all partners. So, you know, this data really becomes more meaningful to everybody because they've been a part of the process since the very beginning. This is their data. This is their world. This is their community. And it creates a long-term commitment to these communities. So, you know, even though we're only funded to work with them for about 5 years, you know, we really take stake in their community and help them to, you know, find additional funding and really try to sustain the programs and the improvements that we're doing far beyond the grant itself. And then some kind of benefits of this process. As evaluators, you get increased access to information. And the quality of information gathered is definitely more contextualized because we really take that initial time in the beginning to make sure we're asking the right questions. Along the way, it's creative problem solving. We don't have to try to figure things out on our own. We can really ask our stakeholders and involve them throughout this whole process. And again, it's really meaningful, I think, for the stakeholders and for us. They really get excited about the data because they've been a part of it and they love to share it. So that is pretty much an overview, and I'll be happy to answer questions.
And we'll take questions at the end.
Yep, great. Thank you.